come by himself or with somebody else to Cleveland?
Yeah, Kirk wanted to make the job.
For the job, American Steel.
He came to Cleveland because of a job at American Steel. Yeah. And what year was that, Mom?
Well, I don't know what year. 1912, that's what he was. He was married and had three children.
Oh, he had three children already?
Yeah, when I come.
Uh-huh. And he was married to Mrs. Lagan, obviously. Yeah.
Her name was Franedich.
Uh-huh.
And she was from Yugoslavia, but not from the part where her husband from.
What part was she from? Do you remember?
More close to Italy. Closer.
Close to Trieste.
Close to Trieste.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, but
he already had three kids then.
1912 when I came.
And they were living upstairs by Uncle Bosnick.
By Uncle Bosnick.
That's right. Okay. What year did they? What year did they move to Maple Heights?
1917.
I see. Just shortly before you did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Frank was the oldest, and Mary was the next child back at home. Yeah. And when did she leave?
Mary was 14 years old when this stepmother who come, you know, there, she tell the father that she don't need Mary home, that she gonna cook herself.
Uh-huh.
And that they should send her away to some other farmer.
To work.
And uh-huh. That's what happened, and she wasn't happy about it, you know.
Yeah.
Losing her mother and then be treated that way. So
yeah.
she write the letter to her aunt, mother's sister, and that was Mrs. Kosice, who lived in Olean, New York.
Yeah.
And she sent her the passport and everything, that she come by her, and she got a job, and then she board with them, you know.
In New York?
In New York.
Uh-huh.
And the first money what she could save out of her wages, she sent for them.
Oh, I see.
And then he comes to Kosice. And he stayed there too and paid.
Yeah.
He bought with them.
Uh-huh.
And then...
In the meantime, then Mary must have met Mr. Fabian, right?
Yeah.
In New York?
In the meantime, no, that was all good. All three come to Kosice.
Yeah.
That sent for Jean. See, that was the last one. And father had a new family.
Yeah.
He had three boys there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that works pretty good. But they all come to Cleveland for one reason, because Mrs. Kosice wanted her children to marry among their own nationality.
Slovenian.
So Mary come first, and she got married over here in Cleveland. And then their son, Bob, come here for the same reason. And Joe come right after Mary got married over here. And he got married to me.
Uh-huh.
And then John come here to Cleveland too for the same reason. They all look for each other, you know, those three. But John and Joe was more close. And Frank was always kind of away from this brother and sister.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He didn't do nothing for him, or he never spend any money for him.
Yeah. So back home then in Yugoslavia, Dad's father then had his kind of second family, right?
Yeah.
And what happened back there? There were what, three kids in the second family?
Well, there were three boys, and when this...
Do you remember their names?
I know for only one. Louis was the oldest one.
Louis?
And he was the one who got a farm after the father was his farm.
Louis got the farm after Dad's father died.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they got a dad, and the oldest one, all this poor one, they got a letter from the court. You know. They supposed to sign it to him or ask for their share of the farm.
Oh, I see.
Because there was a new paper, see?
Yeah. And so what happened?
They all signed that that this partner should be together, you know, with two witnesses.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to me. I got the same thing from my grandmother.
Yeah.
I got a paper from some old cop, you know, from the court.
What year did Dad's father die?
I know that he was about 96 years old.
He lived to be 96?
Yeah.
And you didn't go back to
when
Dad?
When I went 65, no, father was alive. But I visited there.
Oh, you didn't go there?
Oh, yeah.
You went there then when you were staying in...
And you stay, stayed there, me and Betty. And
you drove Louis, there?
And Louis had the car. So we make a date, you know, one day, Louis pick us up, and we drive there to Schulzenberg.
From, from
to,
Zagreb?
And to Dad's house, you know. It was just the way he was telling. There was a brick house. Very nice place. I think the house actually the best what they had in that village. Because the father was a shoemaker. And he needed, they had a big windows when all those houses over there had a small window.
Small, yeah.
But he somehow had a big windows, you know, to work.
For the light, huh?
Yeah.
Now,
and besides
that,
he was a musician.
The name of the village was called what?
Podgorze.
What about
Podgorze would be in English, that there are very big trees around there.
Yeah.
Mostly was Christmas trees.
So Dad's...
Whole hill.
Dad's father was a musician, and he
musician,
also
yeah.
was a shoemaker.
Yeah.
And he also had a farm.
Yeah. Okay. So they didn't have a bad living there, you know, that time. He make it in his trade, you know, that shoemaker. He could make your shoe. He actually make it the samples of what kind of a shoes you're going to have.
Yeah. So he had a pretty good business.
Yeah. And like for when somebody got married, they hire him to play for the wedding.
He played the accordion?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And who was living in a house when you went back there in 1965?
Only Louis, the owner, was in a TB section in a hospital.
Yeah, because he was pretty elderly by then, huh?
Yeah, was
yeah.
They had two daughters.
And the two daughters were living in the house?
But we didn't make it. We didn't find them, you know, because when you write with somebody, you know, you can't impose.
Yeah.
So I was glad, you know, that we went to see the house.
You saw the house.
The property there. And
yeah. You didn't talk
and
to
I met, and I met, oh yeah,
oh,
and
you
I met his wife.
Yeah.
His wife was, name was Paula.
Yeah, whose wife?
Louis, that one who owned the property.
Dad?
That's
the son.
Hap's, no,
half son.
Brother.
Yeah, half brother, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, they was, you know, kind of glad, you know, and happy because I bring him, you know, I bring him some money.
Uh-huh.
Even the gunk, I think, gave $5 and Tony Legan gave it $3 for the, you know, I should give it to somebody over here. And I bring some material and that's what I buy. And then I give him my clothes, you know, I gave her my suit. I had it from America. And the coat to that one.
And they were very glad to get it, huh?
Oh, yeah, they was very glad to get it. And they call us in a room. I know they had a two bed in the living room. Nicely, you know, made. And in one corner was a table and chairs. That was all in one big room. And she put a bottle of wine on it. And I kind of miss it because I'm used to it, you know, all the time. But my time, they put the bread on it with the wine.
Yeah.
And this time she bring the cookies. And put the cookies on the table.
Cookies and wine, huh?
Cookies and wine.
Uh-huh.
Well, they enjoy it. Louis enjoy it. So did Betty and Tom. I didn't take no wine. And that's what happened.
Did you stay overnight there?
No. We stay only maybe about 1 hour. You know,
then you drove back to Zagreb.
No, then we pass that house, and we come more open road, and there was another brick house, and there my sister-in-law, yeah, she was married to my older brother. There was a Jordan.
Now, this was close by, the same village Dad was in?
Close by where that, this lake and there. And she, my brother married a girl right from that village.
What was the name of the village?
Putgost.
Okay.
Yeah, they all belong to us.
Yeah.
And the main part was Jusenberg, like, you know, post is Jusenberg.
Jusenberg.
Yeah, when you write there.
Oh, that was the coastal, yeah, the area. I see.
Well, and there was that the story, what she says, you know, what happened to her. In 44, I think it was, that how the brother, the girl joined this partisans.
Yeah, the guerrillas against the Germans.
She was 16 or 17 years old, uh-huh. And she go in the woods.
Yeah, with the partisans.
And she joined with the partisans. But the father was against it, and there was two boys, they could get it. But father was against it, they don't let him go to this partisan.
To the partisans, yeah.
Because he was a prisoner in Russia in the First World War.
Uh-huh.
And he probably know better than the rest of them, you know, how things work. So she kind of tried to prevent it. And they say that the girl tell the commander over there
uh-huh.
about the father. And that's why they kill him.
They came to the house and called him outside and killed him.
See, they always, over there, you know, before the country fall, they always find somebody who don't have nothing and never had nothing.
Yeah.
And they promised him that they're going to give it to him.
Right. That's so communism.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this man was a friend of his. Mm-hmm. He know him.
Yeah.
And this woman says that her husband was in bed already. And this man knocked on the door, and she asked him. She says, well, come on in. She says, oh, no. What is Ignatz? She says, he's in bed already.
Now, Ignatz was Dad's older brother?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think she remembered that, too. She says that, he says, oh, just put the pants on. You're just going to come out, you know. And when he tied it, says, well, wait a minute, I'll put the shoes on. And he says, no, don't bother with the shoes. You won't need him. He actually did, but she don't know yet if he know that neighbor friend, what's gonna happen to him?
They took him out into the woods from the house
and killed.
And he never came back.
Huh? Never.
So never found him.
Never
anything?
Found him. Neither. So she says that she cried for a while, you know.
Uh huh. So did she stay there in the house then?
No, we didn't stay no place, you know, because Louis was the one who
he wanted to go.
Well, then we drive a little further. It was still around Jusenberg, and Louis supposed to visit Gela Perko brother.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't go there either because it was such a bunch of hill. Full of stones.
Bad road. Huh?
And in the bottom was a big water. I think it was Kirka. Mm-hmm. So we let Louis go himself to take that gift from Angela Perko. And we was waiting on a hill, you know, for him just to go there, give the gift, and come back. Then I think we went back. Probably we drive to Šentjerne, you know.
Yeah.
And over there we stay overnight.
Yeah. Okay.
And they all want to have American money.
They wanted the dollars?
Yes.
Even though this was 1965 and times were better over there, weren't they?
Yeah.
But the people still didn't have that much?
Oh, no.
No?
Well, you know, they, for the dollar, I don't know how many...
Dinar?
Yeah, dinar.
Yeah.
They get for $1.
What was the rate when we were there?
But not in the bank. See, if you give a check over there to the people,
yeah,
they wasn't too crazy about it. You know, they want to have a paper dollar. And
yeah.
I think probably we got it for $10 over there by that tavern where we stay overnight for everything, for food and for a guest sleep.
$10 was it? Pay for both of you
for
food and lodging.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and they invite us back, come anytime. Yeah.
So the people in Dad's house, the two daughters that were living there, were very friendly. Huh?
Nice. And they were very happy because I bring him enough material, you know, that she had the dresses for the girls. But then, you know, I keep in touch after when I come back.
Yeah.
And I send that money there. Sometimes, most of the time, $5, because you never know if they're going to get it. And right at once, you know, I send it twice and I didn't get nothing back.
They stopped. They stopped answering you?
Yeah.
So you don't know what happened back there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When it comes from different places.
Yeah.
And that's why, although we sent Dragica a letter, which we felt should have arrived in plenty of time, I forgot how many weeks it took. But it's more than likely that the letter was censored.
Yeah.
And
It took like 2 or 3 weeks for a letter to get there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Justy is the only one, because I sent her all the time. You know, like a for Christmas, I send her a letter and I put the money in it. And she never tell me that she never get it. But these people, Jusenberg, well, they have somebody, probably they take it out.
Didn't they write you and tell you Dad's father had died?
What?
Didn't they write you to tell you Dad's father had died?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that must have been what, in a... Must have been one in the 60s, right?
Well, I would say so. Mrs. Lagan was there, that he was still alive.
And what year was she there?
Well, she was there in about 45, 46.
Or after the war, Mrs.
Yeah.
Lagan went there.
Yeah. He was still
alive. He was still alive then, huh?
Yeah.
But I think he was in his 80s then, wasn't he?
And he feels sorry, you know, too, for what happened to his, to Frank. He says that he know it, you know, that he was wrong, but he was so highly temperate.
Was he?
Yeah, he says. But he never write. Frank never write. Yeah.
Frank never forgot it, huh?
Yeah. And then he was mad, worse yet. I think he write him one nasty letter. By the time when he got married, he says that he didn't even wait, you know, that the mother would be cold.
Yeah, I remember he
dragged another woman in the house.
Frank wrote him in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And father write back the time, he said, you shouldn't get married yet, neither, you're too young. And Frank was 21.
Well, when the mother died, the father must have been, what, about 40 or something?
Yeah. Well, about that.
And his stepmother was probably, what, 18, 19, 20, something like that?
No, she was close to his age.
Oh, she was? Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, the story they tell, you know, they said that you're supposed to marry her.
Oh, the first time. Oh, I see.
But she didn't have no dowry.
No money.
That this girl who he married, she had a piece of land. So that one was lost.
Made the right decision.
After 20 years.
He got everything.
And the father was bragging all the time. And mom, you know, your father was bragging all the time. He says, 21 years they
chocolate.
And I don't think so they chocolate, you know. That means that she was waiting for him for 21 years.
Well, the stepmother obviously didn't like the first three children that dad had, and this is why they left for the United States indirectly.
Well, the dad got a licking, I think, a couple of times from the father. She didn't let mistreat him or anything, but the father did. Because dad, you know, was mad on her, and he cooked himself. And I think he made it cornmeal, and they had a lot of butter because they had a cows.
Farm, yeah.
Yeah. And he soaked that thing with the butter that even cat wouldn't want to eat it, she says. And the father shellacked him. You know.
The mother was mad then because dad had made this mess with the cornmeal?
Yeah. That's what I remember.
But unlike you, dad was never hungry then.
And he could never ask to call her mother.
Well, naturally,
he
because
says
she
that,
wasn't.
That he got choked in the neck. When the father tell him, he says, "This is now your mother," and he says he don't want it.
Well, dad was never hungry though because they had a farm, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But he didn't like the idea of his father marrying another woman and bringing
that's
him in the house
right.
as his mother.
That's right.
Which you can't really
that's
blame
the way it happened, you know, when
sure.
the things come like that. It's about the same thing now when these people are so careless, you know, that they get a divorce and the children are lost between that. It wasn't very long ago when I read that. I put the radio on at night sometime, I don't sleep, and they got some guy there, you know, that the people called. Yeah. And one boy was 19 years old and he called in. He says, he would like the advice, what he could do yet, that his parents would come back together.
Mm-hmm.
He was 19. I says, I don't know, I think it's too late. Well, there wasn't a divorce very long.
Yeah.
Well, sometime it happened.
Yeah.
And they both mature enough. Well, our Betty was something like that. It's a sad to say, but that's how she operated. She always threatened. And you know, when you do that, the other party got tired.
How old was she when she met Frank?
Huh?
How old was Betty when she met Frank?
She was little, she wasn't quite 19.
How old was she when she came over from Europe to your place?
11.
Oh, so you really had her then. You raised her from 11 on.
Yeah, but I don't think so. She got spoiled by me. I think she got spoiled before.
You didn't do it.
Before 11.
She was spoiled in Europe?
Well, sure she was spoiled. She was for everything. You know how they do with when an orphan little girl is left?
You were spoiled when you were in Europe.
Why not?
But she was.
She was. I tried to tell her and she got mad.
Now, she stayed with you in Maple Heights?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you know, after my mother died, and Betty was left with her grandmother. So I think that was a blessing, really. She should never say it, you know, that she had bad. Because I know how grandmother take care of the kids.
Grandmother spoiled her.
Yeah. Well, anything Betty want, Betty get. But they always take advantage of it even from here, from America, see, when I was here, and they tell me in every letter, could you send some money? Betty need this and Betty need that, you know. And every time I got the letter, I cry with it, you know. And Dad got mad one day. He says, you know what, this is enough now.
It's cheaper to bring her over.
Said, yeah. He says, We didn't have money. You can't send it all the time, you know. I only send a dollar or two. He says, let's borrow the money, because we didn't have nothing in the bank.
You borrowed it from
Matsuka? Borrow the money and send it for her. I'm gonna see that she's gonna be fed and clothed. We could do that.
Where'd you borrow the money? Yeah.
I think it cost $75.
Did you borrow that from Skupka?
And we borrowed that from Mr. Skupka.
Now, Mr. Skupka was a Slovenian too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Was he from the same part of Slovenia that you people were?
Yeah.
That's right.
And he was the only one who had the money in his sight, you know.
Now, how come he had money?
Where did he get money from?
Well, you know, he didn't have no family, no children.
Yeah.
And they was both savers.
This is the one I lived on Miller, right?
On Miller, yeah.
Just
below
where Lillian lived.
Yeah.
That's
right.
And so he bought up. And Tonka wasn't any better off neither. See, Tonka was married at the time too. And I think she borrowed from Spooksa too, but I think her bill was $125 because, see, Betty was under 12 and the other girl was 18. So.
Who was that?
Who's the other girl?
Pepsa.
So Pepsa and Betty came at the same time?
Yeah. They come together, but they both stay with me, because Louis wasn't so friendly like that, you know. Louis figured, you know, but for his side don't come and bother, you know, but my side all did. I was lucky that way.
Louis wasn't bringing his orders over, huh?
No. So the Pepsa.
So you sent Betty to school since she was 11?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But she didn't go to first grade. They put her in a second or third year, you know, when she was 11.
Uh-huh.
And then she skipped a couple more grades.
Uh-huh.
Like that she had. She got a credit of eighth grade.
Uh-huh. And then she quit school?
Oh, sure. She hardly waited. She'll be 16.
And she went to work, right?
She went to work like a housework.
Housework?
Yeah.
Where, in Maple Heights?
No, yeah, in the Maple Heights, you know.
Well, where in Maple Heights was she working?
Not the Maple Heights, you know. Where the rich people live.
Oh,
like Shaker Heights.
Shaker Heights?
Cleveland Heights.
And she was working, huh?
And she was working for a couple of dollars, you know, like maybe $5 a week.
And she was still living with you?
Yeah. Whatever, no, on the weekend she come home.
Oh, I see. Well, she was living
there.
Oh, I see. And she came home on the weekend?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then Frank came along?
Yeah, when she was about 18.
And she liked Frank?
Frank come around. She must. I don't want her, though. I didn't like him.
Was Frank good looking?
Yes. He was a good looker. But I didn't like him, you know, because I didn't hear a very good prospect over there. They kind of, the brothers kind of knock him that he is not very good, steady worker.
Now,
and he wasn't.
That held true.
Now, Frank had come from Yugoslavia too?
No, he was born here.
Oh, Frank was born here. Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, that was one thing I think they make Betty blind a little bit.
Uh-huh.
She probably believed that she got a big deal there.
Now, Frank had a job at the factory, right?
No.
Well,
that's
no
another
job.
Thing I said. I see that, too. Frank didn't have no job. He was bartender for his brother's saloon. Joe was his brother. And he had a tavern.
Where?
Saloon. Someplace in 92. and he paid $25 a week. And 2 weeks or 3 weeks after they got married, he lost the job.
His brother fired him?
Yeah, he fired him.
Because Frank was no good or what?
Well, probably he didn't see it. That was Joe Koscheck, you know. And, you know, what could you see, what kind of a future you see that when the boy is something like this, you know, hanging in a brother for those few dollars?
Well, did you tell Betty then?
Sure I tell
her. And what did Betty think?
Nothing. I even tell that lady what Betty worked for. And she told me, she says, "You're wasting your time." She says, "Don't try to stop it." She says, "You know, this man is by us every day. I wouldn't be able even to keep Betty that she would be a maid. You know, she was actually a children's nurse.